Though they are unknown to the broader public and occupy a minor place in the history books, the people with the greatest influence over the destiny of Guatemala and, in a way, over the entirety of Central America in the 20th century were Edward L. Bernays and Sam Zemuray, two men who could not be more dissimilar from one another in terms of origins, temperament, and vocation. Zemuray was born in 1877, not far from the Black Sea, and being a Jew in a time of vicious pogroms across Russian territory, he fled to the United States, where he arrived along with one of his aunts at 15 years of age. They took refuge in the home of a relative in Selma, Alabama. Edward L. Bernays was also from a family of Jewish immigrants, but they were wealthy, from the upper class, and boasted an illustrious figure among their numbers, Bernays' uncle, Sigmund Freud. Putting aside their Judaism, and neither was particularly devout, the two of them were quite different. Edward L. Bernays styled himself a sort of father of public relations, and if he didn't invent the profession, he did take it, at Guatemala's expense, to unanticipated heights, making it the central political, social, and economic weapon of the 20th century. This much there was no denying, even if his egoism compelled him to pathological degrees of exaggeration. They met for the first time in 1948 and began working together that same year. Sam Zemuray asked for an appointment and Bernays received him in his small office in the heart of Manhattan. Most likely, the enormous and badly dressed brute, with his 5 o'clock shadow, open collar, faded blazer, and work boots, made a poor impression on Bernays, known for elegant suits, scrupulous diction, yardly cologne, and aristocratic manners.
"I tried to read your book, Propaganda, but I didn't get much out of it," Zemuray told the publicist by way of introduction. He spoke a labored English, as though hesitating over every word. "But the writing is quite plain. Any literate person can grasp it," Bernays objected. "Could be it's my fault," the other man admitted, not discomfited in the least. "Truth is, I'm not much of a reader. I hardly went to school back in Russia, and I never completely got English, as you can tell. It's even worse when I write letters. They come out filled with misspellings. I'm more interested in action than the life of the mind."
"Well, if that's the case, I'm not sure what I can do for you, Mr. Zemuray," Bernays said, making as if to stand up.
"I won't waste much of your time," the other interjected. "I'm head of a company that brings bananas from Central America to the United States."
"United Fruit?" Bernays asked, examining his shabby visitor with greater curiosity than before.
"Seems we have a bad reputation in the United States and Central America. In the countries where we operate, in other words," Zemuray continued with a shrug. "And word is, you're the man who can fix that. I'm here to hire you as the company's director of public relations, or something along those lines. You feel free to choose the title, and the salary as well, to save us time."
Such were the beginnings of the relationship between two men who were poles apart, a refined publicist and aspiring academic and intellectual, and the boorish, self-made impresario, Sam Zemuray, who had started out with savings of $150 and had built a company that made him a millionaire, despite his appearance. He hadn't invented the banana, of course, but it was thanks to him that in the United States, where few people had tried that exotic fruit, it now formed part of millions of Americans' diet and was beginning to make inroads into Europe and other parts of the world. How had he managed it? It is hard to say objectively, because in Sam Zemuray's life, fact and legend mingle.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.